The following is a paid advertisement of St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics. References to any specific product, services, or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by St. Anthony Hospital, Carroll Broadcasting, or its advertisers. The views expressed by the host or guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Welcome to the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. Dr. Godding specializes in joint preservation, reconstruction, and replacement surgery, and brings over 25 years of orthopedic excellence to St. Anthony Hospital and to the Carroll area. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Orthopedics, go to stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.
Good Sunday morning, Iowa. It's Dr. Rick Godding. Thank you for choosing to spend some time with me here today. Well, how about, I know it's been a little bit now by the time this gets recorded and played, but that hockey game against Canada was pretty amazing. Now, I remember, as I'm sure a lot of people do, that 1980 game, and there was so much more to it. I mean, with the Soviet Union, it was the height of the Cold War. We were economically in bad shape, had the oil embargo and all that stuff. Now, you know, I can remember you could only get gasoline on certain days correlating with the last number or letter on your license plate. I remember that. I remember long lines at the gas stations. I remember hearing about the economy, but, you know, when you're a kid, you don't know. I mean, I don't really know what all that means. I was 10 at the time. But I remember, you know, obviously the Soviet Union, and it was, you know, I remember doing the drills under, you would dive under your desk, and or they would bring you in the hall. Interestingly, we would have the same, I was in Illinois at the time, and we would have the same, like sometimes they would say, okay, this is a tornado drill, and you get out in the hall, and you'd kneel down, and then sometimes they'd say, okay, this is a nuclear war drill. It's just the same thing. But yeah, that was, it was obviously politically, you know, it was a big contentious thing. I mean, obviously the U.S. and Canada are allies, even though we don't see eye to eye on things a lot of times. But we haven't won the gold since 1980. That's crazy. And here we are. And it was pretty cool. It was great the way it happened. And it was just exciting to watch. And it's really interesting because that happened on Sunday, and Saturday night we were talking about it. We were talking about that 1980 game, and I didn't get up and watch it Sunday morning. I didn't realize what time it was on, but so I only got to see replays. But my family and I were talking about what the greatest sports movies of all time were, and we all think that somewhere, some people think Hoosiers and some people think Miracle. So Hoosiers was this, just this Gene Hackman movie about this high school basketball team in Indiana. Great one. But the other is Miracle. It's the movie. If you have not seen the movie, it's called Miracle, and it's about the Miracle on Ice, you know, the 1980, the hockey gold. And it really, it's just a very well done, well acted movie. And obviously the story is great. So kudos to the U.S. hockey team for that gold. And it's nice to get that. That's exciting. I haven't watched a lot of the Olympics. I've just kind of seen highlights. I don't really watch a lot of sports on TV anymore. Just don't watch a lot of TV anymore. I got a lot happening. But I guess there was a curling fiasco, which was kind of funny to watch. So definitely exciting for that, and I don't know what's happened in figure skating. I know Lindsey Vonn fractured her leg and needed some surgery and things like that. And I just kind of hear snippets of it, but that's about it. And it does, obviously, winter seems to have reappeared. We had a little bit of a respite, and I think we got lulled into the idea that possibly winter was going to be over here, and just go right into spring, but it doesn't look like that's how it's going to work. Now, this is, you know, these bright days, I've talked about it before, you just really, ice is your enemy. Just remember, if it's 20 degrees out, and it's kind of been melting and not melting and back and forth, you know, it's pretty dangerous out there. So just pay attention. It does look like it's basically March. Well, actually, on the date of this broadcast, this would be March 1st, wouldn't it? So now we're in March, so just we're almost there. So now it's time to start thinking about making sure that you take advantage of getting outside and walking. Walking is, as I have detailed previously on other shows, it is the number one easiest way to keep healthy, especially as you age. Once you get past a certain age, it's not, you know, jogging becomes a little bit tougher. I don't jog. I do some sprints, some hill sprints. You could use quotes around the word sprint. I'm just going up the hill as fast as I can, and I'm kind of running. And I'll do 10 of those maybe twice a week, and then I've gotten onto the swimming, as I have talked about, which has been really great. My whole body feels better. My hands feel better. My shoulders feel better. Just my overall body. Get out of that pool, and boy, feel good. And swimming and getting in the pool, if you have recently had any kind of an orthopedic surgery and your incision is sealed up to where it's skin and it's no longer like an incision, where it's like an actual scar, and check with your doctor. But absolutely getting in the pool has helped, I think, tremendously with lots and lots of my patients. I have found many, many times that patients can be even stuck with a range of motion and they can fix it in the pool. And it's interesting because, you know, it's kind of a newer idea. You know, the first time I learned about getting in the pool was when I lived on the island of Hawaii, and there was a physical therapist there who was looking after my mother-in-law. And she said, oh, well, we'll bring her to the house. And I put the patients in the pool. I said, well, that's fantastic. Good for you. Let's try that. And it worked really well. And then now a lot of the physical therapy places will have small pools in there, but they're expensive and they're tough to maintain. But if you have access to a pool and you have had specifically shoulder and knee surgery, hip, I don't know how much it's going to help hips. Well, you go through the front on the hip, the anterior approach, and gosh, you don't really need. I know my partner doesn't send people routinely to therapy because they just don't need it. They're just, you know, a couple weeks after, it's almost like it didn't happen. But knees and shoulders are very different, especially shoulders, but even knees, they take a long time to recover. And if you can get in the pool, I don't know what it is about the pool. I don't think anybody really knows what it is. I know that you can, you know, you can kind of squat down and it's not your full weight on the squat. And so you kind of can increase your range of motion a little bit incrementally without having a lot of pain. And then with the shoulder, it's just, you know, doing that motion with a little bit of resistance seems to be very, very beneficial. And so, you know, in the end, I'm not sure what it is, but definitely there is a benefit to getting in the water after you've had any kind of an orthopedic surgery. And, you know, if you have access to a pool, just make sure, you know, you just got to make sure the incisions are ready. So talk to your doctor before you get into the pool. But once those incisions are ready to go in the pool, man, it really helps. It really helps. And so some of the other things that you can do, well, first of all, I kind of started talking about just walking for exercise. And I always, you know, I say my healthy 80-year-olds all walk. I mean, pretty much 201. If they are really healthy and they're 80 or over, they walk, and they've walked for a long time, and they still walk. And you don't have to walk a bunch, but any walking, I mean, and you know, walk the most you can, and start slow and walk more and more. And even if you walk seasonally, in other words, if you say, well, there's just nothing I can do in the winter, okay, fair enough. Safety wise, there's no place it's out of, you know, you can't get to the rec center, but if you live in a place where you can walk, it's the best thing. And then lifting a little bit of weights. And it doesn't have to be anything heavy. It doesn't even have to be 10 pounds, just a little 2 or 3 pound weights. Do that at several times a week and increase your muscle mass. And that increases your healthy metabolism of sugar. And it really can make a huge difference in how you're living your life. And, you know, these little things, these maintenance things, you know, as you get older, it just becomes more and more and more important, not less and less, because it's tougher. The worst thing to do is to sit and watch TV or sit and, you know, scroll on your phone or whatever. You know, get up, read books, and walk. Or find a hobby that keeps your mind a little bit busier. My mom is really into quilting and sewing and beading and things like that. And it keeps her, you know, you have to think about what you're doing, but you also have to, the motor skills and all that. And it's really helping her keep sort of vibrant. And so I just recommend these kind of things. And this time of year, especially, is the time when you could really, you know, say, all right, well, pretty soon here, certainly by April, it's going to be pleasant out most of the time. And it's just good for everything. Get that vitamin D on you and all that. And we also start to get into the time frame of athletic injuries. So if you have a child in athletics, you know, just remember, tell them it's better to kind of start into the training with a little bit of momentum. So some stretching and a little bit of light jogging before they show up for the first time in spring baseball or spring football or track. Because when you go from sort of a period of inactivity to a period of activity, it does take your body some time to sort of adjust, even if you're young. My daughter, well, my oldest, she finished volleyball, you know, a couple months ago, I guess December. And, you know, she's going to start track. So that's not too bad. It's just a couple months and she's 17 and she's very athletic and doing sports. So I think that's fine. But if you have a student athlete who's been out since the previous season, if they're like a one sporter, you know, just get them to start doing a little bit before, you know, hit the weights a little bit, do a little jogging and stuff before they get into that first practice category. Because what we see in the spring, you know, you'll have spring baseball, wrestling's obviously just finished, but you'll have soccer in the spring, and we just see a lot of ACL tears, anterior cruciate ligament tears, and meniscus tears. And to some extent, I mean, there's only so much you can do to prevent it. They're just going to happen some, but the stronger you can be overall, and the better condition you're in, it's going to improve your chances. But you know, it happens in the NFL. It happens in college. It's definitely one of those things where you just, you know, if enough people play enough sports, anterior cruciate ligaments are going to tear. When I was doing my fellowship in Australia, it was very interesting. So they didn't really have high school athletics the way we would think of it. They had town teams. So the smaller town would have a team, and they would have junior teams, you know, below that level up until like 18, and then at 18 they would play on the town team. So you would have like Carol would play Manning, and it would be, you know, maybe 16, 17 if the kids were bigger, up to, you know, however old somebody could play. And they would play rugby and Australian rules football and soccer were the three sports. Australian rules football was the biggest and rugby was the second. And Australian rules football is very interesting because it's kind of a combination between rugby and American football. So if you've never seen rugby, they just kind of run with the ball, and they scrum. So they kind of get together and kind of, it's not like the line of scrimmage where they fire off and hit each other. They kind of start where they're already touching each other. It's kind of interesting, but they wear no pads. It's a very tough sport. And then the Australian rules football, they do that, but they have to bounce the ball or kick it as they're running with it. They can only take so many steps before they have to bounce it or kick it. Very athletic. That's why you see a lot of these, a lot of college kickers will be Australian because of that, because they grow up kicking Australian rules football. Anyway, so given that you had these 18 to, let's say, 40-year-old people all playing very violent games, we saw a lot of ACL reconstructions. It was very interesting, and we would, so my fellowship, so a fellowship is something that you do after your residency, and my fellowship in Perth, Australia, was in shoulder and knee surgery at the big sports medicine practice in Perth. The guy that I did my fellowship under was the first, so this was 20 plus years ago, and he started 25 years before that, and he was the first one in Western Australia doing arthroscopic ACL reconstruction. So they used to open them up. Have you ever seen anybody who had an ACL reconstruction in the 70s or 80s? There's big scars, and it was not nearly the nice operation that it is now. So he got very busy, and he was sort of the premier guy in Western Australia. So we took care of some of the pro teams, the pro Australian rules teams and the pro rugby teams. And, you know, it was interesting because we, he helped to develop a program to try to reduce ACL tears, and you know, they do what's called plyometrics and things like that. But in the end, I mean, there's just, your knee's going to go the wrong way sometimes. But like I said, it is best, no matter what level you're at, to kind of start slow when you start a new physical endeavor. And especially back to the people in the age group that I think are probably listening. So yeah, you want to get out and you want to take this opportunity in the spring to start walking and, you know, get yourself a little vitamin D. By the way, if you're not taking vitamin D supplements, especially in the winter and you live in Iowa, you should be. Lots and lots of people are vitamin D deficient. We actually, it's something that we check for and supplement prior to having knee replacements, because there's some data that shows that it can reduce, if you have good vitamin D levels, you have a lower chance of infection, and we do everything we can to avoid that kind of stuff with a total knee replacement. But all these health things, you know, they start to make more and more of a difference as you get older, and the penalties and benefits, if you will, get bigger. The benefit to taking good care of yourself get bigger, and the penalties for not gets bigger too. So that's why I kind of push it in the, obviously, New Year's, make your resolution, but then when it starts to turn into spring, now it's time for, if you've slacked on your resolution, it's still time. It's still early in the year. Make it happen. Because one thing that we, no matter what kind of surgery you're going to have, if you end up needing a surgery, whether it's an orthopedic surgery or any other kind of surgery, you may or may not need that. But a lot of people, there's a lot of people out there having surgery every day, all around. And just like with any other type of issue or illness, the healthier you are and the stronger your body is, the better you're going to weather that storm, because surgery is no matter what kind of surgery, it's violent. You know, you're cutting into the body and doing things to it that are not, I don't want to say not natural, but they're not. It's not natural to put a big piece of metal inside your knee, right? It's not natural. Or to go in and put a piece of mesh in your belly or a stent in your heart or all those things. So the healthier that you can be, the better. And I guess that's kind of just my message for today, is just basically go out there, take advantage of this turn in the weather. I know we had that little sneaky little week or so where it was 50 and 60, and then we got clobbered again with some cold. And now, as March comes in, we certainly know that by at least by the end of March and early April, it's fully going to be spring, and it is a good time to get out there, walk your dog, walk without your dog, play some tennis if you're any of those kind of things, and just keep yourself healthy, because if you do have an injury or an illness, it's going to be a whole lot easier road if you're healthy going into it. And I mean physically, not just your diet, but, you know, get some muscle built up, do some walking, lift some weights. And you have a blessed weekend.
This has been the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics, go to www.stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.